Hello and welcome to another episode of the Guards Podcast. Today we have in our office Integrated Prevention Program. Joining us is Markel Doctor, who has 13 years of experience in elementary and early education, and she is heavily involved in local schools. She has numerous credentials in integrated primary prevention, and she is currently our integrated primary prevention specialist here in the North Dakota National Guard. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So to get right into it, what is IPPW, you know, and what is it you all do in the North Dakota National Guard?
So IPPW is essentially just a proactive way to approach holistic living, healthy lifestyle. So we work upstream to create a healthier, more resilient force. We work with service members, families to get ahead of issues like stress, relationship challenges, financial. We're looking at overall like a bigger picture. And so we're more like coaches and dot connectors, and we help build skills and supports and for the unique pressures of the military life. So just kind of joining the community and utilizing all the wonderful things that are already there and kind of putting it all together.
And then your role in that program as one of the specialists, mm-hmm. what is it you do with that program, and how do you help out soldiers and commanders and, you know, first sergeants to help out soldiers in that environment?
Sure. So as a specialist, I work to make sure that we can have research-based supports, that we are connecting service members with the resources that are already there, that we are educating and getting ahead of things. And so a lot of what I do is pretty creative in the background. It's utilizing what's already there, how to tie it in, because we have a lot of great resources. It's just putting them all together so that we don't silo everything. And that's my job, is to kind of bring everything all together in a nice little bow. And that's essentially what I do.
So you talked about all the different programs and, you know, multiple different stressors. What have you seen so far as like the most used? Is it health? Is it financial? Is it, you know, relationship, stress? Like, what's the top three?
Yeah. So the top three, like, things that we get requests for would be stress management. How do I care for myself while I'm caring for others? And that's a really complex thing, but we can break it down even further. And I think that's where my education background comes into play. I can take a pretty large concept or something that seems really big and make it small. And so the other things is like relationships. A lot of us, it comes down to communication and how are we effectively communicating with each other and with the people that we love. And so it's educating and giving them real-time things that they can use. Financial is one that we keep hearing again and again and again. And I think with our ever-changing society, and just it feels unstable and kind of unattainable at times. And so Ron Murray is another prevention specialist who's on our team. He is like the financial guru with us. So a lot of people do reach out to Ron. He's got a lot of things that are very helpful for finances.
And then you mentioned, you know, early education, childhood education as your background.
Yep.
With that planning and coaching, how has that experience helped you shape your approach to prevention work with service members?
Yeah. So we found, especially as an educator, I found that foundationally, you have to start strong. You have to start predictable. You have to focus on creating like a positive environment where people can grow, but they feel safe to do that. And so I, as background in coaching, it's like an empowerment. You empower people to give them the tools and confidence that they need to keep like living to their true potential. So not breaking people down or making sure that they don't have what they need, but setting them up for success with those foundational skills. So I was actually just visiting with a colleague about our first 30 days of school. We always stressed it was just a big time. And we came home so exhausted because everything had to be so pattern oriented, predictable, so that when it came time for real in-depth learning, they could actually take in what was necessary. Because if our brain doesn't take in that we're safe around us, we actually don't, we can't comprehend the information or new information because we're constantly in a fight or flight mode. So those foundational skills are really, really, really important.
So you're talking about foundational skills, different stressors. Wellness isn't just one topic. You talked about it, it's multiple different topics. So rather than just focusing on one aspect, how do you do like the holistic approach to wellness? Like, what does that mean to you? How do you apply it to the work within IPPW?
Yeah. So holistic, a lot of people think like, oh, I need to, you know, go to spas and do yoga and, you know, I have to be one with myself. And that's not it at all. You have to meet your needs and you have to focus on your well-being. And it's, you focus on mental, spiritual, financial, they're all interconnected. And for us to say that they're separate parts, that we need to treat them separately and attack them separately, is what we're trying to bring education around, is that everything is interconnected. So if you're struggling with financial, it's going to impact your relationship and your mental stress. And then that leads into, well, I'm not sleeping well. This is now going to affect my physical performance and my ability to handle stress. So I try to look at that whole picture, and we offer so many different ways to approach that so that it's not like a one size fit all. I used to hate that when professors would teach me one way to do math. And I'm like, hey, I don't get that. Can you show me another way? And they're like, no, because that's not how life is. Everybody's going to approach things differently. And so that's kind of our job, is just holistically connecting those dots, saying like, hey, this actually feeds one into another.
So we talked about the holistic approach, and then just to back up a little bit, you know, further than your background, and focusing on IPPW itself, the Integrated Primary Prevention Workforce. How did it start?
Yeah. So the DOW, the efforts, they were focused on like suicide, sexual assault, substance abuse. And it became clear that we were heavy on response. And, but they weren't reducing the frequencies of our risky behaviors. So it grew with more of a holistic approach, and that led to IPPW, because we had so many different people working on one key element. We didn't have a group of people that were putting it all together, saying like, hey, this, we're seeing key things in multiple areas. So that's kind of where IPPW grew out of. And so it's really, it's rooted in prevention science. And it's effective to building positive behaviors that try to eliminate the negative ones. So we really focus heavily on like social connections, financial stability, healthy coping strategies, because they all share common risk and protective factors. And so that's like the things that negatively impact us for risk behaviors and the things that positively impact us for protective factors.
So one of the things we keep hitting on too is, you know, holistic approach, holistic health, and don't want to just treat it as a buzzword, but prevention and preventative care, just, it's not a one and done. So like, what is it you need to do with that to make sure you keep doing it?
Sure. Well, the easiest way that I can, I guess, respond to that question would be in relation to like a car. So we invest in a car. So if we invest in something, okay, that's a lot of money that we're putting into something. And so we need to go get our oil checked, and we're okay doing that, but we're not okay checking in on ourselves and making sure we're fine. So, okay, why aren't we checking in there? We need to check the tire pressure. We need to check the engine. The engine light goes on. Warning signs. Those are things that we see in our car. But we don't listen to our body when it's giving us these warning signs and these bells, and it's, wow, you're totally different. Or a friend notices something and we just kind of brush it off. But you would never brush off an engine light, especially in North Dakota with how cold it gets. And so we really should just check in on ourselves like we check on a car. Fill it with gas. When we are tired, sleep. It's the same thing as gas. Like, just, you need to normalize that we check in for various different things within our life. But my gosh, I can't think about myself. Like, I'm not going to go fix. I don't need being fixed. No, we're not saying that at all. You don't need to be fixed, but you do need to maintain and provide maintenance on yourself so that you can feel good, just like your car. It runs better when you give it what it needs. Otherwise, you're just going to peter out and it's just going to end up with low fuel, and you're going to sit on low fuel, and eventually it's not going to go anywhere. So you just kind of spin your wheels. So we make sure that with holistic, yes, it's a buzzword. Really, it's just a way to check in on yourself and see what your needs are, but asking, communicating, going in and saying, yeah, like, that's okay. I can go to the doctor, not just once a year. I can go to the doctor because I don't feel well. So that's fine. But okay, when it comes to me thinking about things like, oh gosh, I'm just really stressed and spiraling and running out of gas, we need to normalize that we have to take care of ourselves just like we take care of our cars.
So you've hit on this a little bit with protective factors and whatnot, but what would you say is the core mission of IPPW, and what are the main goals you're focusing on here in North Dakota?
Yeah, so our core mission is to really reduce risk behaviors. So not just one, but also making sure that we're promoting a culture of wellness. So like I talk with the risk and protective, those go together. And so when we focus on that core mission of promoting a changing culture in a positive light, where we're not just addressing one thing, we're addressing the holistic way to look at things. We foster an environment where service members feel supported. They have the skills to navigate the challenges of their military life versus their civilian life. And we focus on quite a few key areas. And like I said, we're those dot connectors. We're letting people know, like, there's resources out there that are actually really great. We don't need to create the wheel again. Like, we can use 988 for a ton of things. We can use 211. We can use Military One Source. And it's just kind of normalizing, making sure people know they're not alone. Like, we're in this together.
And then you hit on this, like, with prevention. You know, mental health is just a huge thing we really try and focus on organizationally. And how is IPPW moving beyond just, all right, we're aware this happens. You know, 988 is a phenomenal resource. Like, can't talk about how great it is enough.
Right.
But what else are we doing to actively build resiliency skills? Like, there's all resiliency training, but you guys bring a lot to that. So what is it you guys are doing and, you know, helping reduce that stigma about seeking help? Because that's always something that's talked about, is how do we reduce the stigma?
Oh, yeah. And that is one thing that I think we constantly are challenged to think about in a different light. And I kind of want to just touch on, we're getting people to think about more of a different way to challenge their brains and create, just a different way of looking at small changes that they can make to make their life, I guess, how they want to see it. And so we've been launching a holistic wellness challenge. And so that'll get sent out here. And it is really increasing awareness and encouraging. We've increased the awareness of the protective factor. And then also this year, we're really heavily focusing on alcohol reduction, knowing that in our society, alcohol is attributed a lot to, it's a correlation between behaviors that maybe could have been prevented. But because of the alcohol, there is a correlation to maybe what's happening. And so we are working on a way forward that says kind of those aha moments where you go, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And so that's what we're trying to do, is just kind of bring awareness and education. So with this holistic health and wellness challenge, for example, like in February, we are focusing on healthy relationships, effective communication, and the challenge is to make sure that we can like proactively listen to someone, but also like, are they hearing me? Like, how do I communicate that? Timing is a thing. Like, I'm not going to talk to someone when they're super pissed off. That just isn't going to go well. So just kind of bringing awareness to, oh yeah, that's why that didn't go well. Sometimes prevention is just at its simplest form, just putting in a little tidbit to say, look at that differently. Like, what can you do differently? So we're tailoring training. We're always encouraging command teams to reach out. We've had quite a few. We've done a couple briefs with RSP. We're working with the 957 right now. And they just kind of tell us like, hey, this is what we're seeing. Can you help us with this? Like, we'll give you some time slots. And so we really appreciate when people, because we know they know their service members. We know that. But sometimes those softer skills are a little bit harder to attack.
And one of the things you've already talked about too is, you know, risky behaviors, and you hit on alcohol prevention. And you said that's one of the things you want to focus on is misuse. So are there some unique pressures that service members face, like specifically in North Dakota? Because I know you talk about risky behaviors, like maybe you want to go out, have some drinks with dinner, far away from somewhere. Like, how are you getting home? And then what are strategies or some type of like activities like you're helping implement to get people in that mindset?
Right. So North Dakota is, I mean, there's other states as well that battle this. We've noticed it across the 54. And so we've noticed camaraderie can sometimes lead to like, well, unhealthy drinking habits. Like, oh, well, I guess I'm expected to go there and they're going to a bar, but gosh, I really wish that like we could just go to a restaurant instead and I could make that choice. So there's like little changes we can do. It really comes from the top down. But it also can come from the bottom up of just reducing that stigma and just saying, nope, I'm just not drinking tonight. Like normalizing unhealthy behaviors or what your needs are. Because maybe you have to get up, maybe you have a kid, and you know that if you go to bed and that baby starts crying and your spouse has been home with them, it's normalizing like, oh, okay, I have my needs, I have my family's needs, I have all these things. And so we know that with all of that and alcohol kind of touching into like celebrations and camaraderie and unhealthy drinking habits, we're working on providing education, providing resources, being those dot connectors to what do I have control over, which is a lot of things. We actually have more control than we think we do. So it's raising awareness and just making sure that your choices support what your intended outcome is. We have Uber. Like there's a ton of things that we can do. If you live in a smaller community, you probably know someone that can give you a ride. So normalizing just calling and just saying, hey, I don't want you to be mad at me. Can you just come and get me? Sometimes it's that communication as well. So we talked about that, like with healthy communication, boundaries and things like that. Those are all important within your needs.
You know, I think that's one of the things you talk about, like drinking with us. A lot of kids are told by their parents, I don't care what time it is or what you're doing. Yeah. You can call me and I'll come pick you up.
Exactly.
I'll be angry.
Yeah.
But I will come get you.
Exactly.
And I feel like if you have supportive friends.
Yep.
All right. Like maybe they'll be angry.
Yeah.
But they'll come get you.
Yep. Exactly. And I mean, I always tell my kids right away. I'm just like, hey, if you need to tell me something and you're really worried, like you can't worry about me, but I know that that's always a worry we're going to have. Communicate that beforehand and just say, Mom, I know you're going to be mad, but I have to tell you something. It's like, so that communication piece is huge. But yeah, we have to lean on the people that are around us and communicate what's actually going on, but check in with ourselves, because if I have no clue that I'm going to get behind the wheel and I've had a couple too many, you kind of got to look in and just go, oh gosh, like where did I miss that sign? Like, and then I almost, you know, it's just scary. It's scary.
And then you've talked about this, referenced it a couple times with communication, healthy relationships. So obviously that's a major factor for what you guys want to focus on. But then as a program, what are you providing to service members and also their families with like tools to help and build, maintain those healthy relationships? Because maybe someone didn't have that with their parents growing up and they don't know what a healthy relationship is supposed to look like. Like mom and dad were always fighting and sometimes like the police were called and then that's normal to them. But it's not normal to the world. So how are you helping out people with maintaining, building healthy relationships and then any of those unique challenges that are specific to military life, like when someone deploys and then roles change?
Right. I mean, that is, that's in itself kind of really, it's difficult. It's definitely multifaceted. So with like, what are we providing? We're providing the education, we're providing the options, we're providing that they're not alone. We're normalizing, like, you don't just have to get through this, or just because it happened to you doesn't mean you have to make that choice. Every day we get more educated and there comes out with there a ton of new research on how our brains work. And yeah, we can't help what happened to us, especially when we grew up. And we all fight with that. We've noticed it across different surveys where it was like, did you feel like you were in an abusive home? And abuse can mean a variety of different things. But understanding that that's a, now you can choose to break that cycle. First, it comes down to that realization of that happened. I'm not okay with that. Okay, what do I do now? So that's where we come in, because we can't force someone to admit like, oh yeah, I guess I did have an abusive childhood. Or wow, there was a lot of drinking in my home. Because if they don't realize that it's a need or something that they're missing, they're not going to seek help. And so it is difficult, because it first comes with realization. And we can provide the education. We can provide resources that are like, hey, you didn't like what happened. Okay, this is kind of our, we can break down like brain research. So I always have to be careful because I use these big words and my mom has to check me. And she's like, I don't understand what you just said. And so it's taking these really big concepts and making them a lot smaller. So we provide, we write for taglines a lot. And so in the tagline, we always have a key theme or things that we're working on. It's whether people are going to choose to read that, can't force them, but you can provide them with the information to make their lives easier and better.
And hope you get that aha moment.
Yeah, yeah, because without the aha, it's really difficult.
And then going back a little bit to total wellness.
Yeah.
And you were talking about a lot of different prevention things, and it's an extremely wide spectrum of prevention. Like, right, we're talking everything. You said emotional, physical abuse, drinking, risky behaviors. So what are some crucial elements that you put in the recovery for IPBW's overall strategy? Like, what are you doing for that?
So as in for the strategy of like just prevention in general?
Yeah. So okay. Like, what is, like, we get someone like, okay, reading the tagline, they see that, but there's definitely more to it than that. Than just, okay, I now have the knowledge.
Yep. Yep. And that's where we're working. We like quietly embed ourselves throughout different programs. So we kind of support service members through SMFS or being included in on meetings that are kind of guiding the direction that we're going. We always leave our contact information and people can reach out to us. People are so intrigued when they get that aha moment, that we're very available. We're very easy to come to units to tailor something to what they need. And so, like, if we're working with financial stability, a lot of times the financial briefs were like, what about my retirement? Well, a lot of our younger soldiers, they're not even thinking that way. Like, we know that it's probably a good idea to do that. That's really important, but it's missing even the basic key piece of, if I start at a younger age, realizing that my $8 at a gas station every single day adds up, and I could have been instead investing that into even just a savings account if you're looking at something pretty basic. But it's recognizing that the habits that you have really can kind of drive what's important to you. But establishing other healthy habits is kind of, in a sense, I guess, forward thinking. So you're recognizing, okay, I might lose my job, so I probably can't get that $6 coffee. That's probably not a good idea. But we're kind of in an egocentric society where we need things like really quick, and we need that self-gratification. And so prevention is really holistically about looking inward and going, okay, what needs are not being met that I feel that coffee is going to meet that need? Is there maybe something that I can do instead?
Yeah. I'd say it's almost one of those things, just building that habit.
Yeah.
Where you talk about is just making coffee at home.
Yeah.
It is very simple.
Exactly.
But is that part of your ritual or your habit?
Right.
Versus doing it.
Yeah. And I know my mom always said, if you're going to implement something new, make sure you're already doing something else with it. And you usually connect it easier. So she's like, I do my hair every morning, so I'm going to do some standing exercises. So it's embedding what's already there and just bringing awareness to, you know what, that's actually what I need, not what I want right now. That's what I need.
And then you referenced your mother with this, but we'll shift to other family members. Yeah. For like service members, right?
Yeah.
So your work isn't just strictly with the service members.
No.
In the North Dakota National Guard. You do work with their families. So, you know, talking about wives, husbands, children.
Right.
Why is it that you want that broader group to work with, and why is that essential for prevention?
So our family members, we know, are the strong core. They're the background. Backbone. They're the backbone, because when we work with families and we strengthen them, the service member then is able to go focus on their job and what they can do. And if you flip that as well, if the service member knows their family is struggling, their spouse, their kids, it's really hard to focus on what their mission is. And so when we work closely with like SMFS and chaplains and behavioral health, and I mean, there's so many wonderful things out there that we're all working together in the background and we all want what's best. Sometimes people just have, hey, you know what? I've always gone to SMFS. So that's a great place to embed ourselves. So there's not a ton of, like, we don't host currently. We would like to get there, but being a new program, we're still getting up and running and we're still getting up on our feet. Just making sure, like, if people need us, they know how to get a hold of us. And they do. They do reach out. We go around. We reach out to them. Like, we're at all of the state family programs with their spouse, kids. I did bread baking last year. And so just making sure we're visible, we're there, they know we care. But service members, families are really a key piece, because without them, we've missed the boat.
Yeah, I think one of the things you talk about that is having, you know, strong families makes it easier to work when you're not diverting your attention, because I consider myself a wonderful multitasker, but it's been proven that people are less efficient when they multitask.
Yeah.
It's focus on an individual topic, subject, work it, you know, cradle to grave till it's done, and then move on to the next thing, and your efficiency increases.
Yeah.
Because you're not diverting brain power to focus on something else.
Right.
So it's, if I'm worried about the wife and kid at home, then, okay, I'm not focusing on what I need to do in my office, out in the field. Like, it's the same as if I'm at home, but I can't get my mind off work.
Right.
It's not giving good family time.
Yeah. But it's even, like, with service members, like, we think about, okay, if they're deployed or if they have to be gone for a month, like, that can be very difficult. But to know that their family is being taken care of so that they can do their job, that's huge. That will alleviate so much stress, and really just support overall.
So if you had to boil down, if you want to just have people take away one overall significant message about, you know, the power of prevention and what they can do in their lives, what would that just singular point be?
So choice. I can't drive it home enough is that we have the power to choose to be proactive about our own well-being. It's not something that just happens to you. It's something that you have to choose and actively participate in. So small choices every day that make you healthier. And when I talk about health, it is multifaceted again. It's not just physical. It's not just sleep. It's not even just eating well, but all of those things align as to what your needs are. And by reaching out for help, you're not alone. You're not alone at all. We have people here. We're a community that supports each other. And so prevention is really a community approach to making sure you understand what people need and what I need.
And then let's say a commander, first sergeant wanted to reach out to you. What would be a way for them to get a hold of you, to have you come out, and what would be a good reason to have you guys come out and talk to units?
Yeah. So if you are looking for ways that you are like, you know what, I don't really know about healthy relationships, or maybe I need some financial. I'm seeing my guys are and gals are keep asking about all of these financial questions that I'm kind of giving them basic answers. Those things that you may consider more soft skills, more resiliency. We do have master resiliency trainers on our team. We even have Air Force master resiliency trainers on our team. And so we can even reach out and do those skills. So there's a lot of things that if you would want to focus on a very specific skill or notice, hey, something happened, I need to figure out what is going on, we can even come and do focus groups. We can come and kind of be that fly on the wall and lead a conversation and provide valuable input. So there's a lot of things that we can do. And you can always contact us. So the North Dakota National Guard website, we're embedded all over the Soldier's Toolbox. And I know we keep improving it and keep working. We're on GKN. We're under the command group, personal special staff. We're in taglines. If you want to, you can call me directly. I handle a lot of the scheduling. So my number is 701-333-2373. And yeah, let's just connect.
Perfect. So I'll give you one last opportunity. If there's anything else you'd like to add, Markel, before we wrap up this episode, but there's one last little nugget you'd want listeners to know.
Yeah. So prevention is truly all about just reducing that stigma to ask for help. We need to normalize that by asking for something, it's actually a strength because it's bringing that awareness again as to what I need. And we all work together as a team. And if we don't have the answer, we go find it. and we are there. So we want to normalize just kind of that help-seeking behavior, that you're not going to be penalized by contacting us and saying, hey, I really want to learn more about this. So reach out. It shows a sign of strength. It shows a sign of reflection and proactive. You are investing in you, and that's the best thing that you can do.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us today, Markel. That was Markel Doctor, and she is with our Integrated Primary Prevention Workforce, also commonly known as IPPW. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.